D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. I promise I won't read the same read twice as I have already had. But now you know about the 615 Open. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation, Titans reporter. Hi, TD. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for joining us, as always. So as the NFL draft approaches and we talk about all of the prospects who could go to the Titans at number four, I want to ask you about Carnell Tate specifically. We know that Ohio State is a wide receiver factory. And I know that you put in the time, you grind the film. How does Carnell Tate compare to other top wide receiver prospects from Ohio State in recent years?
Yeah, I mean, I think he ranks below the guys that have that come out. You know, as prospects, he ranks below them, but that doesn't mean he's not a good player. And you look at the guy, I mean, you're talking about Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba. There's so many, Marvin Harrison Jr. You could go on and on. Emeka, I always do that.
Emeka
Okafor, Abuka. Yeah, I always just, you know, I'm thinking back to the UConn center. But anyhow, like all those guys, really good players. And to say that he's not right there with them is not saying he's a bad player. He's a complete guy. I love the way he's able to get vertical. He runs his routes well. He catches the slant well. He has nice size. 4.5 is still fast. I don't care what, you know, people act like that's not a fast time. He's decent. He's solid enough to get down the field. Now, is he someone I would take top five? No, but that doesn't mean he's not a good receiver.
Big news in the NFL today, Teron. Giants defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence has reportedly asked for a trade from the Giants. And now, because of the connection with Brian Daboll and all of the players that the Titans brought in who had some connection to Brian Daboll, do you anticipate the Titans having any interest whatsoever in at least exploring a trade for Dexter Lawrence?
No, I don't think it's likely. I think when you look at that scheme, you know, it's not really meant for a guy like, as much of a guy like Dexter Lawrence. You know, he's along the lines of Jeffrey Simmons. He's kind of like in between a Simmons and Tavondre Sweat. You know what I mean? When you talk about the style of play. So I don't think he would be a automatic fit here. And also, you got to remember, this team, they want to draft and develop, you know, and this is the same team where you have a president of football operations say he wanted to draft 10 guys in the top three rounds over the next 3 years. So a trade for Dexter Lawrence wouldn't really be in line with the overall vision.
Now, Teron, with that being said, what are the likelihoods you believe? Because as we start to get closer and closer to the draft, and you spoke with Sala and Borgonzi, and it made it seem like they just want the best player. Now, as we continue to go and get closer to the draft, how likely do you think it is that they trade out of that fourth spot?
I think it's very unlikely, unless there's some type of wild offer, godfather offer they can't refuse. But you kind of led into something that I wanted to talk about, because I want to get this name in the mix for that number four pick, and it's not one that people are really talking about, but I'll be writing about it soon, and that's Sonny Styles. And I think when you look at Robert Saleh, one of the things he told us out there in Phoenix was about the Mike linebacker and how they're required, you know, hash to hash, right? They got to carry those routes. And you look at, you know, what teams like to do. They like to run those crossers and the things like that. You need a linebacker that could not only move with those guys running those crossing routes, but have the ability, the length to impact those routes that are behind it. Because, as you know, it's always layered. And when you have a 6'4 guy with a 40-inch vertical, it makes it a lot harder to get the ball to that 20-yard inbreaker, you know, that's behind that crossing route that they like to do to try to, high-low defenders.
Now, TD, I think it was either Borgonzi, it may have been Borgonzi that said, hey, it could be, you know, there is a high possibility, or in theory, they could go with two rookies on the offensive line. And with that being said, do you see them going heavy? Do you think he was more so talking young offensive linemen? Because they do have some offensive linemen on their roster that are going into their second year. But do you think they can go heavy offensive line after the first and possibly the second round?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be surprised if they don't, honestly. One of the things that Borgonzi said was he feels that there are guys who are, you know, potential starters, you know, late day two and into day three. So it wouldn't surprise me if they stock up there. Look, man, the tackle position isn't guaranteed. You know, Dan Moore Jr., probably another year. J.C. Latham is still developing. And then you look at the guard situation. Obviously, right guard is open, right? And Jackson Slater's there. But, you know, what if he ends up going to center and Austin Sloatman doesn't work out? So there's a lot of questions. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go heavy O-line. And he kind of alluded to it, you know, saying that they're starters at that part of the draft.
Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, let's go back to Sonny Styles for a moment, because it's such a big philosophy, somewhat similar, I guess, to the running back, that the guy has to be super special to be worth getting picked that high just because of the position he plays. You did a great job of sort of outlining why he would fit so well. But just from a talent standpoint, Styles does feel like he's got that ability, right? He's a needle mover.
Yeah. No, absolutely. He's a needle mover. He has NFL bloodlines too, by the way. You know, his father played in the league. And then you look, I believe it was for the Falcons. Then also you see his brother, is an NFL prospect as well. And I think you just look at the tape. Most of the time, number zero was first to the football, right? And you look, the amount of missed tackles he has is the same number as the number on his jersey, zero. And this is a guy that you could not only use in the pass game against the run, but you could also use him rushing the passer because he has that length. I mean, he's 6'4", you know, 230, right in that range, and he runs, he's strong, he has the demeanor, everything about him. And, you know, as I sat and thought about it more and more, when Mike Borgonzi was saying best player available regardless of position, at that point, when he said it, I went right to running back because of Jeremiah Love mix. But I think that applies to linebacker here too. So, and that's why I say, you know, put Sonny Styles in the mix.
What do you think that Cody Barton and Cedric Gray, who basically play that position right now, especially Gray, I want to hear your opinion on him because I know we're all pretty excited about what he does. I mean, he got a lot of tackles. Like, he was productive. He was noticeable last year. How does he fit in this new system?
Yeah, I think he's more of a Sam, and you move Barton to Will, and, you know, you got Sonny Styles at Mike, and he's on the field all the time. And then you'll have, you know, either Barton or Gray come off when they go to sub package, and that's the way I see that thing working. But, I mean, look, you know, Cedric Gray's an awesome player, you know, when it comes to what he was asked to do last year, you know. But I think in this scheme, the coverage aspect is where there's a shortcoming, and that's why a guy like Sonny Styles comes into the mix.
Okay, so if you take away the position need and all of that, if you're just rating Styles versus Jeremiah Love, if you put a grade on either one, which one would you grade higher?
I don't know, man.
In the whole best player available, right? You see what I'm asking?
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're asking. That's a tough one, man, because, you know, Styles is an outlier physically. Like, you look at what he brings. I might have to say Styles, man, at 6'4", 235, wherever he is, the 40-inch vertical, the 4.47, the demeanor, the bloodline. I might have to say Styles.
Teron Davenport, ESPN, NFL Nation Titans reporter, has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. He joins us every Monday. TD, as always, fantastic stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. I appreciate it. And, hey, man, even though Juan Soto is on that injured list, it's still go Mets. I'll be up there on Friday to see him.